Hi everybody, Will Alexander from Will Alexander's Dog Show Tips, DST. Today on the interviewed chair we have Vicki Seiler-Cushman. I'm sure you're going to enjoy this.
Hi everybody, today our special guest is Vicki Seiler-Cushman. Hi Vicki, how are you?
Hi.
You look fabulous.
Oh, well, thank you. So do you.
Oh, thanks. So things are well?
Thank goodness.
Yeah, touch wood.
Yeah.
And the pandemic's treating you okay?
Yeah, so far. Of course, the vaccine is soon to come, and my husband will be in the first round, and my son and his wife will all be in the first round because they're all first responders while my husband's a doctor. So so that'll be good. I'll be the only one that's not safe to be around. So.
Well, that'll be a relief anyway.
Yes.
I'm gonna get started right away. Can you tell me how old you were and how you got started in dogs?
Well, we had dogs for most of my life. My father had hunting beagles, and then my mother and father were divorced when I was four. And then my mother got a German Shepherd. And so that's kind of where we started. But we were living in Cleveland, and my mother went down to the park in the winter because they were having sled dog races. And so my mother fell in love with the Siberian Huskies that she saw there. So she came home and we looked in the paper to find a breeder, and it was right around Christmas time and back in 1969. And so we found a breeder and we went to see the puppies. And we decided that we were going to get down on the floor, and whichever one came up to us first was going to be the one that we took. So we went to her house, and it was a couple that lived there. She was pregnant, and sat down on the floor. And the first one that came up to us was a black and white male. And so my mother says, this is the one we'll take. And he was $50. And so we took our little puppy home, and it was in the afternoon, and we got a call that evening, and it was from the husband. And the husband said, my wife sold you the pick of the litter, and she wasn't supposed to do that, but she's pregnant. And she wants to get rid of these puppies. So he says, he's a show dog, so you need to show him. So we're like, what? Show dog. And so he was like 8 weeks old about then. And so in the spring, there was a puppy match, and he said, bring him to the puppy match. And so we went, knew nothing about anything. And he won best of breed and won group first this puppy match. So, you know, way to reel us in.
Exactly.
So that dog ended up being the top winning Siberian Husky in the history of the breed.
Wow.
At that time. Yeah, his name was Champion Lobo Ray. He's in Lerner Demidoff's books. And he won the national specialty. And so he was our start. And he was a great start for us.
Amazing. You know,
he introduced us to a lot of really great Siberian people that helped us along the way, like Donna Francis and Marie Walmser, Short Seeley, Lorna Demidoff, and they all sort of took us under their wings and helped us, Bobby Palmer, Joanne Macias, and so it was really a fantastic start for us with so much knowledge and people just really willing to help. And so then we started to show him in dog shows, and so we had
how old were you?
When I started, so I was about 11 then. Then I started showing him when I was 12. But first we had George Heitzman show him.
Okay.
And it was he gave us a deal. It was $50 for the weekend, two shows. I remember listening to my mother talking to him on the phone, and I was like, $50 for two shows? That's a lot of money. And so anyway, so he showed him for a while, and he was really Marie Wanzer's handler. So he was showing this dog called Soa Duval. And so we had to get somebody else to show him for us. And so we got George Rude. And
Joyce. And
so, yeah. And so George Rude, who turned out to be, he called himself my godfather, you know, so close to me his entire life until he died in his 90s. But he took him on and he showed him some, and he was doing pretty well. Well, one weekend, there is a big specialty in Devon weekend, Hatboro and Devon. So my mom said, and it was just Council Parker, and Council Parker had just dumped him in the breed the week before with George Rude. And so my mom says, just go ahead and take him. And there was like 150 Siberians entered. It was back in the day. It was a huge specialty. So, you know, I went with my girlfriends because, you know, we had our little junior handler group, and I had my girlfriends. So we went to this show, and I won the breed over 150 Siberians under Council Parker, and then went on, and that was at Devon, and then went on to win the group under Henry Stecker, and then went best in show under Ramona Van Court Jones the first time I showed him.
Stop there.
But truth be told, I had a lot of people that really loved him, like Henry Stecker and Billy Kendrick and Max Riddle. They were so behind me and the little kid and their dog. And so so that was really good.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah, so it was a really great start. And all my little girlfriends were there, and they're like, yay, because that's what we were about, hanging out with the kids. So but all those kids, we've had a lifelong relationship. All of my little kid friends that we were engineers with, we did such a great world to be in, because we've remained friends, and you know, they're all still in the dog game. So it's really a good experience.
So you were 12 when you went best in show.
Yeah.
Where did you go from there?
Well, I showed him and won a few more best in shows. And then I showed him at Westminster. And and I guess they just, because you can imagine how little I was. Probably looked like I was 8. So here I went running in, you know, with my dog running into the group. And the crowd just started going crazy because I was this little thing. So anyway, that was Peter Noop, and he gave him 4th in the group.
Wow. So it's a good year.
And I didn't do anything in juniors.
Yeah. So you're still 12.
My brain.
So you carried on to become a professional handler. It must have gone on from there.
Yeah, I went to my mother's asked me what I wanted to do, and I said I want to show beautiful dogs and have people pay me. And so so I became a professional handler, but you know, there's a long road to get there. So
did you apprentice under somebody?
Yes. So my mother asked me who I wanted to apprentice with, and by now I think I was 14. So I said Jane Forsythe. And so my mother asked Jane Forsythe, and she said no.
Why?
Because I was too young. Oh. And, so then she's like, well, who's your second choice? And I wanted to study Dobermans, because in junior handling, you know, I had a Siberian Husky. That's like terrible for a kid to give him a Siberian Husky in juniors. I started in obedience. My mother really wanted me to fail. So you can't train obedience trained Siberian Husky. And juniors was just really difficult too. So I was always getting beat by this girl named Mary Kay Lippincott, and she had a Doberman. So I was like, oh, I need a Doberman. I want to show Dobermans. I love Dobermans. And I'd just look at her showing that, and I'd be like, man, that's my cup of tea. So I said to her, I want to learn Doberman. So I want to work for George Rood, because he was kind of like the patriarch of the Doberman Pinscher. And so I worked for him for 9 years.
Wow.
Yeah, slow learner. And so it was such a joy and such an experience to be around so many great Dobermans as he had coming through his hands.
For sure.
So that's how I got into and my love for Doberman Pinschers.
Must have met everybody working for George too. So.
Oh, we did. Oh, back then, and everybody traveled together. And, you know, it was just such a great experience. And he was such good friends with George Ward and Bobby Barlow and Dick Cooper. So it was really nice to have the experience of being around them as well.
Well, I'm sure. What a circle. Wow. Like, I remember hearing stories at George Ward's home of a George racing, swimming across the river. So.
Yeah. That was a challenge that not many took. And playing billiards.
Oh, okay. Didn't know that
one. He wins some money there too. He was the world champion nine ball player.
Wow. He must have some good stories about George. That
might about be. All of them.
I bet, yeah. Any you can tell me?
No. They were all wonderful, though. They all treated me really well, and they were kind. And yeah, I wish that I would have taken the time to question them more.
Yeah,
you know, I just listened to what they said. I was afraid to ask them questions. So, but
intimidating.
How wonderful would that be? Yeah.
Wow. So you were
quiet then. The assistants were supposed to be quiet. Oh, and Jane Kay was fantastic. And she always treated assistants with such respect. And
so you worked for Jane as well? Is that what you said?
No, I didn't. But she was close to George, and we spent a lot of time together. And so Jane Kay and I became close. Yeah.
There'd be some good stories there, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
So you worked for George for 9 years. When did you decide to go on your own?
Yeah, so, I was a licensed assistant back when they licensed assistants. And then before I became a professional, they got rid of licensing professional handlers, unfortunately. And so when I was 21, because you were not supposed to become a professional until you were 21, which makes sense still. And so when I was 21, I went on my own. Still had the support of a lot of people like Max Riddle, who would send clients to me, and Betsy Thomas and Pat and Judy Denier. And, you know, I was really lucky during that time to get started. Yeah, it was great. And it's been great.
Yeah. Tell me some of the dogs you showed. Well, I remember Shadow, but what other dogs were you?
Champion Scansons, I Have a Dream, won the group at the Garden. He was the number one working dog. I believe I've shown 11 Best in Show Giant Schnauzers.
Yeah.
And then, of course, many Best in Show Dobermans. Camp Terra's Legato was the number one Doberman, and that's the dog that I pretty much had retired with.
Okay. We're jumping ahead, though.
So other dogs that I showed, well, I showed the, at the time, you don't have to go back in the time, but the top winning Cavalier in the history of the breed. And then, which his name was Rattlebridge Masterpiece. And then I showed the top winning Sharpei in the history of the breed back during her time. And her name was Starlight Margaret.
You remember her.
Greyland Starlight Margaret. And then, you know, I pretty much won, well, I have won Best in Shows on breeds in every group. So it was really, really nice to have that kind of experience. I know a lot of people focus on just one breed, and although my focus was mostly Dobermans and the working group, it is nice to be able to show fantastic dogs in another group as well.
We do that a lot up here in Canada. It's hard to specialize in one group in Canada. You have to do them all. So I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, I showed a lot of Goldens too. I actually bred Goldens. And of course, I showed a lot of Boston Terriers. Hard to win best in shows on Boston Terriers, but I had a lot of group winners. And that was a focus in my career, Boston Terriers as well.
Well, they're so much fun.
Pardon?
I love showing them. They're so much fun.
Yeah, they are. They're snarky.
Yeah. Around. So you showed all those dogs. And they, when did you retire? What year?
The first time.
Okay. Yes.
I guess the first time was about 2000. 2000, when I went to work for Procter & Gamble.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. My kids were, I got a divorce, and my kids were 4 and 8 when I got divorced. And so they started to get more involved in cheerleading and lacrosse. And so I needed to be home.
Weekend. So,
yeah. So, and I wanted to spend my life with them because, you know, they're the most important thing to me. And so I applied for a position at, somebody came and asked for me to apply for this position at Procter & Gamble. And so I did. And after many interviews, they did offer the job to me, which it was a gift. And so I sold my kennel and moved into a normal home, and my kids were thrilled. And so I did that until basically they were in high school.
Then you came back.
Then I came back, but I came back still working at P&G in communications, you know, Yukonuba and IAMS. And so I came back and started showing good dogs. I said, because back when I was a handler, you can take on good right. dogs and some mediocre dogs. But when I came back, I thought, I'm only going to show really good dogs because I don't have to show, I don't have to show anything but ones that I love showing. So I came back, I'm not exactly sure what year, but that was my second time. Mm-hmm. And then quit about 5 years ago.
Oh.
To start judging.
So what made you decide to start judging?
I was getting married, and so I thought it was a good time to start climbing the rung on a different ladder.
I'm getting ahead of myself as well. I'm going to stop now. I want to go back a bit. What about mentors? Obviously, George was a big mentor for you. Do you have other mentors, Doberman mentors or handler mentors?
Oh, definitely. Faye and Jean Hopp were mentors for me as well. Like I had mentioned, Betsy Thomas, Pat and Judy Denier, George, of course. And then Ted Link, a lot of people probably don't know who she is unless you're in Dobermans, Tadell Kennels.
I recognize Tadell Kennels, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. Linda Duff. Briarwood Kennels, who just passed away a couple of weeks ago. I think I said Betsy Thomas. And then, of course, Pam DeHater. She was very helpful to me. Charlie Cooper. Yeah, good group of Derby.
Well, up here, Pam used to come up here every summer, so we used to see her all the time.
She was, yeah.
And so it's a Dell dog. So the dog that comes to my mind, probably not down there. But up here, there's a dog named Tadell's Fandangle that did a lot of winning.
Yes. Yeah. She came up with the best names. Yeah. And it was great. And it was, everybody was so willing. And, you know, in this area, I know that Dobermans can be very competitive and very tough, but in this area, we really got along. We were pretty friendly with each other, and we had a good community.
Well, that's good, because that's not seldom seen. You know, you find, right. you, even yeah. up here, you find little groups that they become very competitive, and then they all get angry with each other and don't talk for 6 months, and they're best friends 6 months. And,
you know,
So we've talked to mentors. What about dogs that you that are in your, as a judge now, that you wished you could have maybe shown or been a part of? You see them now, and you think, but I don't want current dogs that are still being shown.
Because. Oh no, it's pretty easy. And actually, I did this dog, my name Fifi, and Jocelyn's my dear friend, and I showed Fifi's mother. When I first saw Fifi, I think she was 3 months old, and I knew that she was something special. And Jocelyn brought her to a dog show, and I was taking her around to everybody saying, this is what a Doberman looks like. This is a Doberman puppy. If you ever see something like this. And so then I started getting phone calls like, does she want to sell that puppy? And I'm like, nope, she won't sell it. So then, you know, when she started in her career, Jocelyn had called me a few times and said, will you show Fifi here or there, because I can't go. And I just really couldn't do that to my current special. And so I said, no, Jocelyn, I really can't. But, you know, I played with her a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a beautiful picture of her. She just did everything on her own, but of her free stacking. I think she was 10 at the time. And, you know, she was at the end of the leash, and I was just standing there like, but what a great dog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, her.
That's a good one. What about, before I get into, I'll ask this afterwards. Let's go into judging now. So you started judging, and you obviously you started with what dog, what breeds?
I think I they were all over the place. I think I was in three or four groups. Of course, I did Boston Terriers and Golden Retrievers and Pointers, because I owned three group winning Pointers, two of them Best in Show winning Pointers with Michael Zolo, and one I owned with Frank DiPaolo, and then the Goldens, and what else did I get? Cavaliers, Sharpays. Papillons, because I showed a lot of Papillons. I owned a couple of Papillons as well. And so I was all over the place.
Dobermans.
Oh, Dobermans. Yeah, Dobermans, Boxers, Great Danes, Weimaraners, because I showed a lot of Weimaraners, group winning Weimaraners.
Were Giants in there as well?
Oh, yeah, of course, Giants. Yeah, I think that probably about covers it.
Who would you consider your judging mentor?
Barbara Alderman.
Ah.
Yeah.
I keep chasing her. I'm supposed to be doing this interview. I keep chasing her. We can't seem to connect. She's already agreed to it, but I just haven't
been
able to sit down and get it done.
She's my guide.
Oh, I love Barbara.
She takes care of me.
So what do you have now?
I think I'm close to 50 breeds. Mm-hmm. And just nothing in herding or terrier yet.
Okay. Like can you do the sporting group? What group?
Oh, no. I just do the working group.
Just the working group right now.
It takes us a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have almost half of non-sporting, and I'm waiting for an interview now to do a few more non-sporting breeds, but you know, just several in sporting, Afghan hounds, all of working, just the toys that we've already mentioned, but I'm applying for more toys because I love them, and I own Chihuahuas now, so, and then half of non-sporting.
You're going to be busy then.
Yeah. I don't need to take on too much at a time, you know, just because it takes a while to get your feel for the dog. So I'm not one that applies for 12 breeds or more at a time.
Have you been judging throughout this pandemic at all?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you're okay there.
Yeah.
When's your next assignment?
January.
January?
Yeah, January.
Okay. Is there something that, a talent that you have that you could tell us that people might not know about you?
Aside from that I was a dancer?
Oh, I want to talk about you being a dancer.
Something else. Well, I like golf. I don't think I'm very good at it, though, but golf.
What? Tell me about the dancing career.
So back when I was 21, like starting out as a professional, and I had moved back to Cleveland from Dayton, Ohio. And I went back to Cleveland and I started with a dance group because I loved to dance and I was very into dancing. So I started with a dance group called the American Dance Exchange. And so we did dance fashion shows and it was very, you know, a lot of choreography and it was back in the disco days. And so, you know, we did a lot of, you know, aerials and flips and down and swerves and all kinds of stuff. But so I did that and we danced on stage behind like B.B. King and Donna Summer. And when they would come to Cleveland, they would hire dancers to dance behind them. So I did that. And then we did all kinds of stuff. For somebody had us at their wedding one time, like doing a dance show. So that was my dance career.
I knew you were a dancer. I just didn't know the details. So.
Yeah. It's good to know the full story.
Now, as you're judging, do you have any dogs? Again, I don't want to talk about current dogs, but dogs in your mind's eye that come to mind when you are judging certain breeds?
Not necessarily in Dobermans, just because... You know, I just know what I like in Dobermans. In Shar Pei's, I really do think of Margaret when I look at Shar Pei's because she was a beautiful dog. And she just embraced everything that there was about the standard. And so I do think of her. And then actually, the funny thing is I judged, one of the first things that I judged was this. And it was not a regular competition. It was like one of those puppy things. Mm-hmm. So at the Royal Canin Show, they did the very first year of that puppy spectacular thing, except for they only had one judge. It was me. Oh. So they had like 100 puppies entered. And so I had to go through like 100 puppies and they didn't divide them into groups or anything. So like they all came in the ring at the same time. Holy cow. So I remember trying to go through them as quickly as possible. And I think now there's first, second, third, and fourth, but I saw this Scotty and she just reminded me of Shannon, Brayburn's Close Encounter. And I thought, and she was 6 months old and I just saw her and I remember Shannon used to like bounce around like this and look at stuff on the ground. But George was really taking his foot and putting it over a piece of liver on the ground. And so she was always like going like this on the ground, but she always looked so pretty doing that. So, which is actually where I first learned about how to throw a liver for a Doberman and have him stare at it. I might take credit for that, which probably a lot of judges don't like. So anyway, so she reminded me of Shannon. So I like was like, first, right to her. And now she's Rebecca Cross's special.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Wow. The number one carrier. I think she's number one carrier. I hate to say that, but I think she's up there.
It's fun when you find dogs like that.
Yeah. So that, yeah, so I think it just comes to you at the moment, like when you're looking at them and you think, oh, this reminds me of this dog, or this reminds me of that dog. But really, for the most part, I think the dogs just keep getting better and better and better. Dogs that you think that, I remember looking at Acadia's Command Performance, the standard poodle, and thinking, oh my God, that's just luscious. And then if you see pictures now compared to dogs that we have now, and I'm sure it was just a beautiful poodle and structurally just beautiful, but now you look at them and they're just even more divine. So I think the dogs now are setting their own standards.
That's true. It is neat that when certain dogs remind you, even in headpieces or eyes or some of a certain dog, I find that happens to me. I've been doing more sweepstakes and whatnot, and I see certain things in certain dogs that remind me of dogs I've always liked.
Liked, yeah. And isn't that fun?
No, oh, for sure it is, yeah.
See dogs and find these excellent qualities that, and I usually say something because, you know, I'm chatty, but, you know, like if I see a Doberman with these really great eyes that just stare right through you, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so perfect. I love the way that this dog has the look of eagles. It's just beautiful. So, yeah.
You know, when you talk that way about their dogs. So yeah. I know I always did when a judge would comment on a dog I was showing, it always stuck in my head.
So. Yeah.
Oh, you have any superstitions, Vicki?
It's just a weird one, but it sort of like happens a lot to where I like go to do something and then I think, well, I'll do something else. And I'm like, nope, whatever you're going to do first, that's what you have to do first, because it's bad luck to change your mind and do something else.
To break it.
No, superstitions, not really.
No. A lot of dog handlers. What's that?
Other than that daily thing.
What about if you could have dinner with anyone from the dog show that has passed, who would that be right now? Even if you can see a few of them, you don't have to just pick one.
Well, I loved every moment that I had with Michelle Billings. I loved every moment that I had with her. She was so funny, and I think that people don't realize how funny she was, and she's just brilliant, and she has so much to teach us, and I would like to spend more time with her.
For sure.
A long time.
When did go ahead.
And when I have a very good friend, Allison Campbell, some people might know her as, she used to be with Bobby Barlow.
But,
so she's my very dear friend.
Did she work for you at one point?
She worked for me.
Yeah.
God, what a memory you have. Yeah, she did. She was actually my assistant. And so I had a lot of great assistants. So anyway, we would argue with each other because we were like, we're always going to be close friends. We're going to be like Janie and Annie and Michelle. And I said, yeah, I'm going to be Michelle. And she'd be like, no, I'm going to be Michelle. And I'm like, no, I'm Michelle. And they were all three wonderful, of course, but you know, Michelle, she just had that, she was just so classy and so feminine.
It's true. The very first time I met her, Michelle Billings, I was visiting Mr. Eldridge, and I was about 10 or 11, and I think she was still showing dogs for him, so she was there at the kennel getting a dog, and that's when I first met her. It stuck in my head forever. So,
yeah.
So you have Mike. Anybody else you want to have dinner with? There's a lot, probably.
Yeah, there's a lot. And you know, I loved Jane Kay, and I just love to talk to her about Chihuahuas now, because she was always trying to talk me into getting a Chihuahua. You know, back when, you know, my son was 4 years old, she wanted me to get into Chihuahuas. She'd be like, get into Chihuahuas. You won't be sorry. And I was like, yeah, but I just had so much going on and I didn't eat another dog in the kennel. But I would like to have done that sooner, because now, you know, I'm so smitten with those little cocky things. And so I'd like to have dinner with her so I could talk to her more about the breed. And
she was fun.
Wealth of knowledge and her golf game too.
She was so much fun. Whenever she came up here and after show parties, she was so much fun. Oh my gosh. She was such a character.
Yeah.
What do you think about the judging process right now? If you had to give advice to a new judge, what would it be?
Get out your wallet. Yeah. Judging costs a lot of money. That's the thing. So I just would want people to be aware of that. But I do want to say that I know that a lot of people don't care for the judging process here. But I think that the judges committee with the AKC is doing a great job. It's not easy. And you can't have favorites. You can't say, well, you know, these people have a broad experience, so we're just going to give them everything. Because then you've got this guy right here saying, no, that's not fair. Why do they get it and I can't? So it probably is fair because they have the experience. I mean, 50 years worth of experience. They should account for something. Mm-hmm. But I like what they're doing as far as all of the opportunities that we have. We have our online courses that you can do, and they are phenomenal. Absolutely love them. Worth every penny that you pay for them, and which is $50, but they have been on sale lately. And then also, you know, they are doing these webinars, which are really helpful too. I mean, that how would you like to, if you were in college and let's say you were studying aerodynamics or something, how would you like to have the world's top aerodynamic person talking to you and giving you a webinar about what you need to know? What an opportunity we have to like tap into the best experts that there are. And then the Institute too, which is coming up in Orlando. I'm presenting the Doberman there, but that's a great opportunity too to go. I just wish there was more of them, especially in this COVID year. We just haven't. Most of them have been canceled. So, what they have been doing, I think, is very progressive and very helpful. And you know, as far as the cost, I joke about it costing a lot of money. But it does cost a lot of money. But if you think about it, it's like a college education. This is what you're expect to pay because you're learning, you're getting a degree, and something you have to pay for.
That's a good way of looking at it. There's no question. Mm-hmm. So what about advice for handlers, a new handler? If somebody came to you and said they wanted to be a handler, what advice would you give them?
Work hard, be honest, be open, find mentors. And I'm so impressed with a lot of the new handlers that there are. They work hard and the dogs are beautifully presented and beautifully conditioned. And they just need to stay away from any controversy. Just keep your nose to the grindstone. Work hard on your dogs. It pays off. The more you put into it, the more you get out of it. So, and if other people try to cause drama in your life, run away from it. Just stay away from the drama. Don't let people drag you into anything. Hang out with people that are just like you. Find the people that are just like you.
Yeah, that's good advice. Okay, I have one last question for you.
Really?
If you could talk to the 20-year-old Vicky and give her advice, what advice would it be?
I wish I would have bred more dogs back when I had the opportunity. Yes, I tried to breed my pointer, but she never got pregnant. And then of course we bred Siberian Huskies, and then I bred Goldens, not very many, but I wish I would have taken the time to do more of that. But, you know, with being a single mom and doing the business and running a kennel, it just seemed like another piece I had to add on. But, and then learn more from my mentors. Yeah. Yeah.
We're always learning, aren't we?
Yeah. Learn, keep records so that someday when you do want to judge, you have a record of everything you've shown.
You know, we all forget to do those things. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, it'd be a lot easier for me now if I remembered every Bouvier that I showed or every West Highland White Terrier I showed. It certainly would be a lot easier. So I guess that would be it. Well, that would be my advice to my 20-year-old Vicky.
Good advice as well. Okay. Well, I don't want to take any more of your time. Thank you for giving this time to me. And I hope you look fabulous, and I hope you look happy. Hope to see you somewhere down the road, I'm sure.
Yes, yes, I hope to see you. Orlando,
but I couldn't get there, so.
Pardon me?
I was supposed to be in Orlando, but I can't get there this year, so our border is still closed. So.
Yeah, I'm so sorry about that. And it will be a very different Orlando, but I'm looking forward to going and seeing some friends there. So.
Are you judging there as well?
No.
No? So no, you're going to do the seminars and present?
Well, I'm going to present, and then I'm going to do some mentoring.
Oh, okay.
As I can, see beautiful dogs, and then I'm going to ring steward some on Friday and Saturday.
Oh, good. So, I'm hoping to get a hold of Michael and see if I can call him during it all and just bug him for a few minutes to see how it's going, but we'll see.
He's one busy dude.
Yeah, really. He's been great, though.
The great thing about Michael is that he's always willing. And, you know, he's another one that's been a great mentor to me. You know, I was showing the number one working dog and he had the number one hound, and we would fly somewhere and show up in the same place and go out to dinner together. And, you know, he's always such a great friend and a great sport. And he's been a great friend for 30, 40 years. So.
Well, it's funny when you can compete like that.
Well, like I said, hang out with people that are like you, and he certainly would be a person that anybody would want to have as their friend.
Oh, for sure. Well, give him my best when you see him in Florida.
I will.
And you have a good time, and thank you again for giving me your time.
Yeah. Hope to see you soon.
I do hope to see you as well. Take care, Vicky.
Bye.
Again, thank you, Vicky, for giving us your time. That was a great interview. It was great to see you. You look fabulous as usual. If you like what we're doing here, make sure you press the like, share, and subscribe button. And if you want to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me at dogshowtips@gmail.com. Or if you just want to find out what's happening in Will's world, go to willalexander.net. All right, till next week.